Amen. And anybody testify that the Lord made a way out of no way when you couldn't do it for yourself. Nobody could help you, but the Lord made a way. Oh, you ought to thank God for that this morning. If he doesn't do anything else, he's already done more than enough. Oh, come on, somebody. We ought to thank the Lord for that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. God be the glory.
Thank you.
Good morning, Shiloh. First, giving all praise to God, my heavenly Father, to the angel of this house in his absence, Dr. Armstrong, to you, my Shiloh church family, Amen. To all of our visitors, to our students that are here with us. It's a blessing to see you here this morning. Thank you for coming. All the parents with them, great to see you this morning. It's an honor and a privilege to stand before you one more time and tell you all, since you're here, I'm from Mansfield, Texas. I'm a country boy up here in Princeton, New Jersey. And one thing we do before preaching time, there's no music, there's no anything, but there's a prayer that we sing. And we just say, Father, I stretch my, Lord, my hands to thee. As a word from the Lord. Lord, come see about us. Oh, you better cut that out. As a word from the Lord. If you would open your Bibles with me to Job. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Verses 1 and 2. Job. Chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Let me know that you have it by your amen. If you don't have it, say, preacher, hold on. I'm going to hold on then. Job 42. And the scripture reads, Then Job answered the Lord, said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Now say that again. Job said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. For a subject this morning, I pray that we remember that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. You may be seated. Lord, come see about us. God is sovereign. Church, in times like these, I don't need to tell you what's been going on. Every time you look at the news, I don't need to tell you what you see. I don't need to give you a summary or an overview, but in times like these, the prosperity gospel is unhelpful. If you've ever suffered or if you've ever struggled, then you know better than others that buying a prayer cloth or some holy water won't help you. If you've ever had any health issues, then you know that popular cliches won't help you in your time of need. If you've ever had friends turn their back on you, then you know that simply treating everybody right and smiling and loving everybody won't ensure that people won't do you wrong. Yeah, but this morning I need to remind you of something, that no matter what we're going through, I pray that we don't forget that God is sovereign. If you would allow me to define sovereign for you, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, sovereign is defined as an acknowledged leader possessing supreme power and authority. And if we can't get excited about that, I need to remind you, everybody, you look real nice this morning, but the clothes that you're wearing are only because of God's sovereignty. The cars that you pulled up in is only because of God's sovereignty. The jobs that you have making some pretty good money is not because you're so awesome, but it's because of God's sovereignty. Yeah, but you know what, church? I need you to keep that same energy, because I need you to understand that even when things don't go your way, God is still sovereign. When there's no money in your pocket, God is still sovereign. When things aren't going your way, the Lord is still sovereign. When people turn their back on you, God's still in control. And you know what? I had to FaceTime Brother Job last night, and I had to ask Job what it's like, and how he accepted God's sovereignty in the midst of his suffering. You know about Job, don't you? Job, this morning, as we examine the book of Job, we know that Job was a prosperous man from the land of Uz. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and very many servants. Job was the greatest of all the people of the east. He was on the east side of Uz. That's in the Word of God. And while Job was minding his own business, one day a conversation in heaven took place. Yeah, God was bragging on Brother Job. Yeah. And God asked Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Well, Satan then made the case that Job was only righteous because of all the things God gave him. Yeah, Satan made the case that Job was only righteous because God had a hedge of protection around him. Yeah, and Satan believed that if God took away all that Job had, that Job would curse him to his face. And so God allowed Job to be tested and allowed everything to be taken away from him except his life. Yeah. You know, it gets hard sometimes. When we see that is in the middle of chapter 1. By the time we get to chapter 2, Job's health has begun to fail him. In chapters 4, 8, and 11, Job's friends have turned their back on him. And by the time we get to chapter 17, Job is praying to God for relief. However, his relief did not come until some 35 chapters later. While Job was struggling through life, it's important to note that there are a lot of things that led to his understanding of God's sovereignty. But the first thing that jumps out at me as we examine the text is that Job lets us know not to question God's ability, but to be content whenever and however God decides to act. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. We don't need to question God's ability, because there's somebody in here, you know that God has provided for you. You didn't have a job, but you gained weight. You didn't have any money, but your lights didn't get turned off. We shouldn't question God's ability, because we know what God can do. But because God is sovereign, we have to be content in however God decides to act. Y'all all right this morning? Yeah, you know what? You know what? Oftentimes we get upset with God, or we doubt God when God doesn't do what we want God to do. Yeah, we do. However, God's ability is not to be questioned, but we need to remember that it's not our will, but thy will be done. Yeah, yes it is. And you know what? I need you all to pray for me this morning. I need you to pray for me as I come to the halfway point of my MDiv at Princeton. Y'all pray for me. I'm surrounded by a lot of people who are going to go out one day in the field of ministry, but their faith is flailing in the wind. One day they're preaching about how good God is, but then if they don't get into the PhD program that they think they deserve to be in, all of a sudden God doesn't exist. One day when everything is good, they get good grades, God is awesome, but if they don't get the scholarship they wanted, they question it if it is a God. I had a brother come up to me. He said, "Evans, how can you believe and preach about God when black and brown people are being killed in the streets and there's no repercussion? How can you talk about God being good when our people are still second-class citizens in 2019? How can you talk about God being good?" And I let him finish, and I said, "God is good because I'm still here." Oh, come on, somebody. We can't question God's ability. No, but we need to be content in however God decides to act. And I need to let you know something this morning, that God's will cannot be thwarted. That's in the text. What does that mean? Thwarted. God's will can't be prevented. God's will can't be slowed. God's will can't be redirected by us. And so if we're smart, like I know we are, the best thing to do would be to get on God's accord. Because what God is going to do shall come to pass. But will you be on the train or will you not? In suffering, God's will be done. In good times, God's will be done. When there's sickness in your body, God's will be done. And we don't question his ability. We know that he can heal our ailment. But if it's my time to go to glory, I know that God is sovereign. Look at your neighbor. Say, God is sovereign. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You know what? We learned something else from Brother Job. And we learned that no matter what happened in Job's life, Job stayed in constant conversation with God. Yeah, Job might have been complaining and might have been making his case to God. Might have been asking God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? But I love the fact that he's in constant conversation with the Lord. And that shows that their relationship didn't change when Job's circumstances did. Don't miss that. Our relationship with God cannot change when our life circumstances change. I know somebody don't want to hear that morning. I understand. But our relationship with God cannot change when our life's circumstances change. Can I tell you about myself and how I am sometime when everything is good and it's some money in my pocket? You say, Evans, how you doing? I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Where you headed? I'm headed to the church. I'm headed to get in the word. Why? Because God's been good to me. Oh, but when my money's looking funny, Evans, how you doing? Well, I'm just trying to make it, Doc. We change up. Yes, we do. Well, you going to church? Yeah, I guess I'll be there. No, we act funny with God, and we base it upon our life circumstances. We don't worship God like we do when he's blessing us, but we ought to worship God for the simple fact that we're breathing. We ought to worship God for the simple fact that we're here right now. We ought to worship God because we have the activity of our limbs. We ought to worship God because we right mind. We ought to worship the Lord not based on or contingent upon what he does for us, but for what he's already done. Oh, don't miss that. Oh, no. Job stayed in constant conversation with the Lord. What is conversation with the Lord? You know, that's prayer. Whether you drop down on your knees in prayer, whether you're crying, sitting alone in prayer, whether you're walking and talking with the Lord all by yourself, he stayed in constant conversation with the Lord. Don't you miss that? Yes, he did. And you know what? When you're going through hell in your life, sometimes instead of our conversation or relationship with God wavering, that's when we need to cling to our faith. Instead of now, we just pray every now and then. I pray before I get ready to eat, and I only pray when I get ready to go to sleep. No, but we ought to be praying more when the enemy is upon us. We ought to be praying more when hell is all around us. We should be praying more when things aren't going our way. Not only that, not only should we pray more, but our prayer should intensify when life circumstances intensify. When folks dying around us, we don't need to talk to God less. We need to be praying more. Not only should we pray more, but our prayer should intensify. What we talk about with God should intensify. So now we're not just asking God to change our situation, but we should be asking God to change the way we look at our situation and see that God is moving in the midst of this. I love the fact that our conversation can't waver. Job's conversation didn't cease. He talked to God all the while he was struggling. But you know what? I learned something else about Job. I learned something else, and I learned that there's no sin in questioning God, but you better be ready for God's response. Oh, don't miss that. Don't miss that. There's no sin in questioning God. But I hope you brace yourself and get ready for God's response. I grew up in the type of household I learned about sovereignty early. Y'all, I'm from Texas. And so my father made it clear very early on in my life that he was the sovereign leader of that household. Y'all all right? And one thing I learned about my father, I learned as I got older, I was able technically to ask him questions. But I learned that he didn't have to give me a response. Y'all all right this morning? And one of the responses I would get that would let me know to go on about my business and to leave that brother alone is when I asked him a question and his response would be, because I said so. Don't miss that. When I asked daddy a question, he didn't have to answer. I knew to leave him alone when the response was, because I'm your daddy. Don't miss that. I learned something then. My father was the provider of the house. My father was the priest of the household. My father is the one who gave me life, father and mother. Come on, they gave me life. What does that have to do with the text? Well, God is our father. God is our creator. God is our provider. God is sovereign. And because God is sovereign, he doesn't owe us any explanation. Oh, no, he doesn't. We see here that Job made his case before God. And Job thought that he had a pretty good one. Yeah, however, you know what? God finally answered Job. I think God got a little fed up. And he says this in chapter 40. He says, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. At this point, I believe Job realized he bit off a little too much and he couldn't chew all that. But by now, don't you know, it was too late. Job said, I'm unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. But you know what? It's too late now, because then God challenges Job and says, brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Verse number 8 says, would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? Can your voice thunder like his? That resonated with me. I remember sometimes I'd be talking to my dad, I'd say, I'm going to my room. He said, boy, you don't have a room, because any room in here you renting, because you don't pay any bills in here. And unless you do, you don't get to say what you're about to do. You don't own anything in it. God is sovereign. We speak to God however we want to sometimes, but we forget because of our free will who God is. But God will remind us, don't you know that? And I believe by now that Job had a little change of heart. Yeah, I believe by the time that we get to chapter 42, Job realized something. And he realized that God's love for us cannot be measured by our life circumstances. Don't you miss that. If you're taking any notes, I hope you remember that today. God's love for us cannot be measured by our life circumstances. So when you see your haters out and about in their new car and in their fancy clothes, knowing that they don't half work as hard as you do, knowing that you were the one who was supposed to get that promotion, knowing that they're digging ditches for you on a regular basis because things look one way to us and it seems like they're doing better than us, don't you think that God hates you or is upset with you? No, your life circumstances cannot show God's love for you, because humans' mind can't fathom what God is doing. And our time is not God's time. So we're worried about things of the world and God is trying to bless us in the end. Don't you miss that? And you know what? You know what? You know, I got to tell you something. God doesn't love us any less. When God allowed Job to lose almost everything except his life, Job's status never changed in God's eyes. Really, this test Job was taking was an honor, because he was recommended as a faithful child of God by God. Sometimes if you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're living the way you're supposed to live, you'll come highly recommended. And when God recommends you, you'll have to go through some things. When God is bragging on you, it'll seem like some things are coming your way that you didn't do anything to deserve. But when God recommends you, you have to be ready for whatever comes in your way, because when God recommends you, that means that he knows that you'll remain faithful in the thick of the battle. When God recommends you, like Job, it'll seem like things are bad, but you'll hold on to your faith. I gotta tell you a story. Sometimes, you know, we get afraid of tests. I don't know why that is, but you know what? I'd been taking AP classes since the fifth grade, and ever since my parents put me in AP classes, I thought that this was cruel and unusual punishment. You know, I'm making all A's, so you figure you're going to put me in a harder class? I didn't understand it as an 11-year-old, but that's all right. I grew to love it. And this is why we had to do this thing in high school. We had to take the AP test. And I hated taking the AP test, because all day for an entire week, I'm separated from my friends. I played football. I'm not with the team. I'm chilling and, you know, I'm trying to be around the regular people in regular classes, but now I'm secluded, I'm off in this cold gym, and I'm testing all day long. Again, I thought this was cruel and unusual punishment. But don't you know, I wasn't thinking about the fact that if I scored high enough on those AP tests, I would get college credit, because my 9th and 10th grade self was only thinking about getting a lunch. I wasn't looking to my future. But God has a higher, elevated view, and he's looking past what we're thinking about. And don't you know that By the time I turned 18, 4 years later, and got ready to go to Morehouse College, I was no longer a regular freshman, but I entered with 21 college credit hours. I didn't understand how that would bless me, but now at 25, I look back and thank God because I don't have any debt. I didn't know how that would bless me, but that put me a semester ahead. I didn't know how it would bless me then, but God was making provision for me now. Sometime when you're going through your test, it can seem like it's punishment, but really God is just trying to prosper you and prepare you for what he's about to bless you with. Oh, come on, somebody. That's a place to shout. Sometimes it seems like what you're going through is punishment, but God is really trying to prosper you. But you have to be able to progress so that you're prepared to handle what God's going to do in your life so you don't get God's blessing and then mess it off. Oh, come on, somebody. I know y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all don't kick me out this morning. I got to let you know something. Going through tough times in life doesn't mean that God is punishing you. No, but God was testing Job. Test, test, test. That word test. If you think about if you've ever had a testimony, it's hard for you to have a testimony if you've never been through anything. I can't stand before you and tell you what God has done if my life has been perfect. I can't tell you that God will be with you late in the midnight hour when you're crying if somebody didn't pass away. I can't tell you that God will provide for you if you don't have any money if I hadn't been broke. I can't tell you, oh, come on, somebody, that's all right, that's all right, that's all right. Y'all don't put me out this morning. I need to let you know, I don't want you to think that God loves you any less when your money is low or when your health fails, but I dare you to think about the fact that God, we can't even fathom God's plan for our life. And if you thought that what you had was good, you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, yeah, that's all right. Job teaches us something else. Oh, yeah, we learn something else when it comes to God's sovereignty. And we see here that Job had to be humbled by the Lord before he could fully understand the magnitude of God's sovereignty. You know what? Before you go to the army, you got to go through basic training. You got to get broken down before you can be built up. It takes you going through some stuff to be prepared for what will be to come. Job had to go through some things before he could even just think about what God was doing in his life. If he thought his life was good before that, do y'all know the story? Do you know what happened after his suffering? That's all right, I'm going to get to the good part. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. God put Job in his place as a mere mortal speaking with no authority to his creator. But after being put in his place, Job accepted that God's given position for his life. After he understood that his helplessness would bless him, I believe that Job got this and he became content with whatever God's will in his life would be. And that's my prayer this morning, that we become content with whatever God's will in our lives would be. And the prayer this morning is that we get to a place where we can really learn to accept what God allows, whatever that looks like. But I won't be before you much longer. I gotta get you to the good part. Some people looking at me crazy. It's not all bad. Yeah, before we get out of here, I gotta let you know something. If we remain faithful to God, then we will be rewarded in the end. Oh, that's all right. Somebody's been looking stank this whole time. You've been mad about what you've been going through. You've been upset with God. You've been complaining to everybody you meet. But I'm trying to tell you, if you hold on to your faith, God will reward you in the end. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what? You're going to have to go through some suffering. It's proof in the text. If you think about this, from the middle of chapter 1 until the middle of chapter 42, Job suffered. Don't you miss that. There ain't nothing good about that, nothing pretty about that. One thing that we do as a millennial, if when you have a birthday, you say that I'm starting a new chapter. And so the way I'm 25 years old, if I were to post a picture, I'd say chapter 25. In the Bible, we don't know how long Job suffered. It doesn't tell us how many years Job went through it. But even if we just hold true to thinking about new chapters in our lives, for 40-some-odd chapters, Job suffered. Yes, he did. Job suffered, and he had to deal with that pain every day, every week, every month, every year, until God saw fit to change his situation. But the beautiful thing about that is when he accepted God's sovereignty in his mind, in his heart, and in his soul, God blessed Job in a mighty way. Yes, he did. And I need to let you know that if we remain faithful to God, regardless of our life circumstances, God will bless us in the end. on earth or in heaven. Don't you miss that. I don't have any prosperity gospel for you. I wish I could give you a free car and a free house, but ain't nothing free in this world but Jesus. And I mean that. So I don't have any prosperity gospel for you, but I can tell you that in this life or the next, God will reward you. And I don't know about you, but that's enough for me. I may never have $1 million, but if God rewards me with two wings, I won't be worried about driving a nice car. If I get rewarded with eternal life, even though I'm a sinner, I'm not worried about a big house. I may never count out $1 million, but if I can see Granny again, it'll all be well, well with my soul, because God has been good to me. Even if it don't look like it, God's been good to me. I don't have a lot of money. God's been good to me. I can't tell you everything will be all right and when you're going through it, but if you keep on holding on to God's unchanging hand, God will let you know it's all right. You may not hear it from me, but God will speak. Anybody want to hear God speak? Anybody want to see God move? When you can't do it, can't nobody help you. God is sovereign. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news, because if God is sovereign, don't you know everything will work out for your good? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll leave you with one more thing. You should find joy in the fact that God is sovereign. Yeah, can I encourage somebody real quick? I pray that you know that God's sovereignty is always in our best interest. Oh, don't you miss that. God's sovereignty is always in our best interest. People will let you down. Your family members will let you down. The one that you love will let you down. Somebody this morning, you've been upset with God. You were mad. That person in your life that you thought was the one, it didn't work out. And you mad at God. But don't you know that some closed doors are a blessing in disguise? As somebody, you thought that job, that promotion was yours, and you didn't get it. You felt like you got played. But what you don't know is somebody getting ready to get fired. Oh, God, have mercy. You don't know. God is sovereign. God's vision is not ours. God's timing is not ours. And that's good news today. It's good news because in God's sovereignty, he saw fit to send his son. Yes, he did. In God's sovereignty, he sent his son. God wrapped in flesh, stepped down from 42 generations, was born of a virgin, healed the sick, raised the dead, made the lame walk, made the blind see. He was betrayed and he died for me. They crucified my Lord. They put nails in his hands, ribbons in his feet, a crown of thorns on his head, pierced him in his sides. He died, but that's all right, because early Sunday morning, he got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. So it's all right. It's all right. God is sovereign. He rose again. God's sovereign. Devil can't do me no harm. God is sovereign in this life and the next. God is sovereign. Ain't it all right? Yes. God is sovereign. Somebody wanted to give up. Oh, but there's joy in the fact that God is sovereign. Oh, yeah. If you love the Lord, you know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Oh, God's sovereign. Is that good news? Why don't we just praise God for the fact that God is sovereign in the midst of it all? Instead of complaining all the time, God is sovereign. We may lose some things, but we're still here. God is sovereign. Still alive, but my friends are going on. God is sovereign. You ought to thank God for that right now. Deacons, deaconess, clergy, as we get ready to open up the doors of the church, we offer Christ to you. Oh, my brother. We offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister. He'll give you brand new life. New life abundantly. Why don't you come? Come unto Christ. Lord, have mercy. You can come right now. There's somebody, if you don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins, you can come right now. I can't help you, but the Lord can. You can come right now. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to serve with you. and to serve you. Come and connect with the body of Christ. You can come right now.
Oh, my sister.
Say, Reverend, I've been in church. I just haven't been for a while.
You
can come.
You
can come right now.
New life.
Reverend, I just need prayer. I don't need to know your business, but we'll pray with you right now. You can come right now.
Come on.
Come on.
You can come. Amen. Amen. Pray with that, brother. Amen. You can come right now. Whatever you need, lay your burdens down.
Hallelujah.
At the altar. You don't have to carry it by yourself.
We offer Christ to you.
Oh, but I know a man.
Oh, my brother.
He's a burden bearer.
Offer Christ.
He's a heavy load sharer.
Oh, my sister.
Give you brand new life. Lord have mercy.
He will give you brand new life.
New life abundantly.
New life abundantly.
Oh, come on,
come
on, unto Christ. Come on, come on, come on.
You who are weary and heavy laden,
oh, come on.
Christ.
Come on.
To Christ.
It's not too late. It's not too late.
To Christ.
Whatever you need, it's in our Father's house.
To Christ.
God is sovereign. Come on,
to Christ.
Come on, to
Christ.